I'd like to welcome everybody who's here this morning. Appreciate your presence here with us. We especially want to, again, thank those of you who are visiting with us this morning. We want you to know that you are honored guests. And if you have any questions or concerns about any of the things that we've done here this morning or anything that's taught from this pulpit, please be feel free to come and to talk to us about those things so that we can sit down and study and come to the same frame of mind and come to unity in what we believe in, that God's Word teaches us. Once again, I appreciate the elders giving me this opportunity to speak with you this morning and bring a portion of God's Word to you. And hopefully the things that I've prepared to teach to you will benefit you as they have benefited me. This morning, what I'd like to talk to you about, or actually what I'd like to answer, is a question that perhaps comes up from time to time. It's normally a question that is among young people. And that question that I'd like to look at is, shall I get a tattoo? Make sure it comes up there. All right. When I was in college at Texas Tech, this is a question that came up among the young people there in the congregation where I attended at 62nd Indy Avenue Church of Christ there in Lubbock, Texas. The question came up. A few of the members there of the younger group had a tattoo, and some others were contemplating getting one, and I'd never really thought about it. No, Mom, I didn't get one. In case you were wondering. But it brought up the question, you know, is this something that a Christian should do? Is this something that would be appropriate for a Christian to participate in? Something that, what does the Bible teach on it? What are the principles that are taught on it? And I never really thought about it, never really studied it before. And so when that question was brought up and we began discussing it among ourselves, there were many different views in those discussions that came up. And so I want to look at it a little more closely this morning. And once again, this is something that I think applies a little more to the young people that are here today, because, you know, I mean, let's face it, if you haven't gotten a tattoo by the time you're the older age, then you're probably not going to get one. It's something that normally young people think of. I don't know too many elderly individuals that are contemplating getting a tattoo or doing something of that nature. And there are several other things that we'll mention towards the end of our lesson and make application to, because the principles that we're going to lay forth in the lesson this morning, I think we can apply them to several different things. Not only shall I get a tattoo, but as we go throughout the first part of the lesson and the principles that we're trying to establish, I'm going to use that as the application to make. But in God's Word, there are general commands and there are specific commands. And a lot of times with these things, such as getting a tattoo, and once again with young people, when they're trying to do something that the world perhaps says is cool or something that's in or the style of the day, a lot of times young people want to look for a specific command. And if God didn't say we couldn't do it, well, then it must be all right. And if God didn't say specifically we can't do this, well, then it must be all right. But there are general principles that are laid out in the New Testament as how Christians are to live their lives. And we've got to make sure that we not only apply those specific commands, but that we apply those general commands as well. The verse on the screen, Leviticus 19 and in verse 28, says, "You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor tattoo any marks on you. I am the Lord." Of course, in the the Old Testament, we are not bound by that law today, and so this would not apply. I've heard Christians that would go to this passage and say, "See here, you can't get a tattoo. The Lord doesn't like it." Well, there are many things in the Old Testament that are we are commanded to do or not to do that are not carried over into the New Testament. We're under a new law today, and so we can't go to that for how we live our lives or the things that we do or practice. I think that we all understand that principle today that are here this morning. But what else does the God's law say about getting a tattoo? I also would like you to turn to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And in verse 19 and 20 of that passage, Paul here speaking to the church at Corinth about the things that they need to do in order to be acceptable to God. He says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not of your own," or "you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And so there are things, we definitely have to take care of our body. Our body must glorify God. I think that there is an obvious point where if we're covered in tattoos, we're not going to be glorifying God in that way. If we have piercings that are everywhere, we've all seen pictures of individuals, and those that's a hobby to them, I guess. And those would be things that would not be glorifying God in our body. But at the same time, I don't think that we can apply that to every single little thing. For example, if our body is a temple and we say we're not to change at all anything in our body, well then what about women and earrings? You know, that would be something, that would be a type of change if you go to every little instance. And I think that culture in a way can define what is glorifying God to a certain extent. And we'll talk about that here in a minute. And so with that said, the point I want to make with these two verses is I don't think that it's black and white where we can say any tattoo is wrong or any tattoo is not wrong. There are certain situations where I think that getting a tattoo would be sinful. For example, if the tattoo that you get is of something that is vulgar or that is something that is obscene, then that obviously would be something that is sinful. That's not something that would be acceptable to God. A young person, if they get a tattoo and their parents do not want them to, it's done as a sense of rebellion. They rebel in that way, and that's one of the reasons that they get that tattoo. Then that would obviously be breaking God's command to obey your parents. But as I mentioned before, unfortunately today, there are many young people. A lot of times it's to try to fit in. They try to find justification for something that they want to do. And as long as God's law doesn't specifically condemn it, then they feel free to go on and do that thing. But there are many things that we must also think about, some general commands that we must think about. And those principles that are taught in the scriptures is what I want to look at today and then make application to things such as getting a tattoo. And hopefully I've explained this in a way that is clear. And once again, if you have any questions afterwards, please feel free to let me know. But the first principle that I want to look at that the Bible teaches on, of course, is our influence. If you would turn with me to Matthew, the fifth chapter, Matthew chapter 15. Or 5, excuse me, Matthew chapter 5, and in verses 13 through 16. This is a passage that we as Christians are all very familiar with. It's something that we read time and time again. Here, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of a world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And so, in this passage, as Christians, one of the things that needs to be characteristic of our lives is we are to stand out. We are to let our light shine. Our life that we live and the things that we do in order to serve God and to keep His commandments, people should see the difference in us, and they should be able to see that something is different about that person. What is the hope that is in them? What is different about them? And in doing that, we're examples to those. It gives us opportunities to teach those around us the gospel and those in the world around us the gospel. But our influence is something that is very important, and we need to make sure that we don't do anything as Christians that is going to hurt our influence on those in the world. And so when we make a decision in our lives, are we going to do this or are we going to do that? Is this something that is going to hurt our influence or help our influence in the world? And I think that getting a tattoo could possibly fall under that category. Going back to the idea of culture defining something, you know, I'll give you an example with modesty. Ultimately, God's law is our standard. We go to God's law to determine how we live our lives, what we can and can't do as Christians, and what God feels is what is acceptable to God. The Bible is our standard, and we have to make sure that that is the case. But there are times in history where culture goes a little beyond the standard that God has set. And, an example of that is modesty. In times past, obviously previous to this time that we're in today, an example, it would be immodest if a woman was to have a dress that uncovered her ankle. The ankles, if they were uncovered, that would be an example of immodesty. My dad brought a lesson a few weeks ago on modesty, and I think that the Bible clearly defines that modesty is the complete covering from the shoulders to the knee, or the covering of the thigh. And so that is an example of a time when culture would go beyond what God has limited us to. And in that time period, if you were a Christian, even though the Bible teaches that it's from the shoulder to the knee, if you were to show your ankle as a woman, and the culture, that society, that time period, they considered that to be immodest, then they would be looked upon as a heathen, somebody who is immodest, to somebody who is immoral, and that person's influence would be hurt. They weren't directly disobeying God's will on the law of modesty, but their influence would be hurt in that situation, and they would have a difficult time teaching people God's word and influencing people to obey the gospel and to strive to serve God, because they are looked on as immoral because of society's standards. And so one of the things that we have to contemplate when we're thinking about how we are going to live our life and the things that we are going to do, such as, shall I get a tattoo? We've got to think about how culture looks at it. And I will admit that times have changed. Culture is a little different. I think that Our elderly generation today, when they were young, tattoos were certainly looked at as something that was a little more obscene, a little more frowned upon, if you will, than they are today. They're becoming more and more common, but nevertheless, it's something that we need to think of. If we get a tattoo and somebody looks at us and sees that or knows that we have one, is it going to hurt our influence on them? Are they going to think, when they see that, you know, that's a Christian, that's somebody who's serving God, or are they going to think something else? And regardless of what they should think, we've got to worry about what are they going to think. And ultimately that comes down to love for our fellow man and love for our brethren. The other passage that I'd like to look at, and speaking of influence, is 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. If you would turn there to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And in verses 11 through 18, once again, Paul, speaking to the Corinthians, says, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now in return for the same, I speak to you as children. You also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. And so here in this passage, one of the main points that Paul makes here in verse 14, what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? That idea of the culture that we are in, determining some of these things, you know, at one point the culture, tattoos were frowned upon. It was something that those who, young people who were in rebellion, they were the ones that participated in that. It wasn't something that society accepted as the norm. And yes, we are getting more and more close to that today. But as Christians, we've got to be careful in those situations. Is it a form of evil? Is it a type of lawlessness? Later on in verse 14, what communion has light with darkness? Is it a form of that? And if it is, I think we need to ask ourselves, is it going to be worth it? Is it something that is going to harm our influence, and anything that is going to hurt us from being able to teach those around us the gospel, or being able to spread the gospel, or be examples of those in order to save souls? then I think we've got to ask ourselves what's more important, fitting in, doing something that is perhaps in style or that is cool, or do we need to do things that are going to further the spreading of God's kingdom? And also, this, is it going to help us get to heaven? Is it going to help or hinder us from getting to heaven? And we've got to make sure that we take these things into consideration. There are some, when you talk about these things, they'll say you're just nitpicking or what, you worry about it too much. But as Christians, this is something that we need to worry about. One of the things that we're told in the New Testament is to love our enemies. Well, if we're doing things that are going to hurt our influence on those of the world, on those who are our enemies that we're trying to convert and that we're trying to save, then that's not an aspect of love. And in my own personal experience, you know, I can see exactly what Paul is talking to the Corinthians here about as far as their influence is concerned. I understand what Jesus is talking to his disciples about in Matthew chapter 5 about our influence. Sometimes we don't know how much our influence impacts those around us or how much we are influencing those around us. And we have to be careful with that. When I was in college, I played baseball at Wayland Baptist University for the first year and a half that I was in school up there in Plainview in West Texas. And because of that, I was separated from my brethren during a majority of the week. The congregation that I attended in Lubbock was about 50 minutes from Plainview, and so I would see them on the week. I would stay most weekends in Lubbock and attend church there, and then I would see them on Wednesday nights. But during the week, I was in Plainview, and so I was around those that I played baseball with the most. And these individuals were very worldly. In fact, I had to be careful of the people that I was around, and I had to make sure that I let people know I'm not with this group, because the baseball players at Wayland had a reputation of being immoral and worldly, and I made sure that people knew as best I could that I'm not participating in the things that they're doing. When they go to the clubs on Thursday nights, I'm not doing that. When they're using the filthy language that they are known for using, I'm not participating in that. But there was one time that I failed to do this, and it really hit me. They were going to see a movie on a Thursday night, and it was the baseball players, so it was a group that I was familiar with. And the movie that they're seeing, I forget what it was called, but it was a movie that had some language in it. It wasn't a movie that I should have been seeing. It was a mistake that I made, that I'm sorry that I made. And after that movie, one of the things that struck me, one of my friends that was on the baseball team that I was around, he told me, he said, "I bet you wouldn't have seen, you know, bet you that's a movie that you wouldn't have gone and seen with your church friends there in Lubbock, is it?" And it kind of hit me, and I went, "Well, you're right, you know, I shouldn't have seen that. That's not something that I should have been a part of, and I apologize for him for that, and I'll let those in Lubbock know about that." But that was something that it hit me how much my influence was, because I thought, you know, I'd been around them, that they knew the type of person I was. They knew that I went to church services every Sunday, every Wednesday, that I drove that distance, and it was something that was very important to me. And I thought they just didn't care because I couldn't get any of them to come with me, and they didn't ask me too many questions about it unless I tried to get it out of them, and they were unwilling to study with me and those sort of things. But then that one time I went, and any ground that I had made and convincing them of what they needed to be doing to serve God had been lost in that one movie that I went and saw, in that one action. And so our influence is something that is very important. It's something that we've got to continue to keep in mind, and it's something that I think that if we're not careful, we can forget about our influence and the importance of it, and how much it affects our relationship with those around us and our ability to preach the gospel and to save souls. And the second part of our influence that I want to talk about, we've talked about the influence that we have on those in the world, but I also want to talk about the influence that we have on those around us and our fellow brethren. If you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, and in verses, we'll read verses 9 through 13. But here Paul's talking to the Corinthians once again, is discussing with them the idea of things that are not in the law, things that are the eating of meats and the eating of food. And here in verses 9 through 13, he says, "Beware lest somehow the liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble." And so in this situation, we have got to make sure that we keep in mind our fellow brethren. Ultimately, what this comes down to is love for our brethren. In the first verse of chapter 8 there in 1 Corinthians, he says, "Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies." If there is anything that we are going to do, an action that we're going to partake in that could cause our brother to stumble, then that's something that we shouldn't do. And in the case of getting a tattoo, once again, if somebody is not as knowledgeable, has not studied it, perhaps a babe in Christ that does not really think about those issues as they should, who is not as mature yet as they will someday be or should be, we've got to keep that in mind. Is my action going to cause somebody else to stumble? And I think that's something that young Christians today don't think about as much as they should. But with the example of getting a tattoo, if I get a tattoo, perhaps it's something that's hidden. It's small. It's not in rebellion to parents, as we mentioned earlier. It's not something that's vulgar. It's not something that's obscene. I do my best to cover it up. I do my best to not let people know that I have it, which to me is kind of hypocritical, because why would you put something on your skin, you know, draw something, and you don't want people to see it? I think that's one of the the things that is a little hypocritical when you talk to people about, why are you doing this? And, well, I don't want anybody, I'm not going to tell anybody. Nobody's going to know. Well, why get it if nobody's going to know about it? But when we do that, first of all, we can't completely control everybody and what everybody sees. We don't know. If one person knows about it, you can't control who they tell. There are those things that are out of our control, and we're naive if we think that we can control everything all the time. But if a brother of ours or sister sees that and they don't know any better, maybe they go get one that everybody can see. Maybe they go get one even when their parents tell them not to, because after all, so-and-so's got one. And those are things that we've got to keep in mind. If it is there is a chance or a situation that we could possibly cause our brother to stumble by an action that we take, even if it's a liberty. There in verse 9, "But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours," even if we've studied it, if we know that we have the freedom to do that, if it's going to cause somebody else to stumble because they don't know any better, then we need to make sure that we do what is best for our fellow brother and sister in Christ. And once again, that comes down to the love for our brother, because love edifies, as we're told in that first verse of chapter 8. And then again, in Romans, the 14th chapter, if you would turn with me to Romans, the 14th chapter. In this very similar situation is discussed here by Paul to the Romans here in Romans 14. And again in verse 21, "It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak." And once again, I think that this is something that could possibly fall under this category. Brother Dennis Scroggins, yesterday me and Mark went to a preacher study down in Hewitt, Texas, and Brother Dennis Scroggins, this passage came up, and he was explaining it a little bit. He said that a brother that he had converted out of, I believe, the Baptist denomination, had a problem with him using the pitch pipe. To him, you know, instrumental music's wrong, and he hadn't studied it, and the pitch pipe to him was an instrument of music. And he went and talked to Brother Dennis about that and asked him about that and said he had a problem with that. And so, in order to not cause that brother to stumble or offend that brother, Dennis said he didn't use the pitch pipe. Now he asked him, "I'd like to study that with you," and sure enough, they were able to come to an understanding and resolve that issue, he said. But that's the attitude that we are supposed to have as Christians, that love that we're supposed to have for our brother. Ultimately, if we say, well, God didn't say we couldn't, and so we feel that we've got liberty in that area, whatever it is, but I don't care about my brother or sister, I don't care what they think, that's a selfish attitude. And that is not an attitude that should be a characteristic of a Christian. and a characteristic of a Christian's life. We've got to have love for our brethren, love for each other, and we've got to make sure that the things that we do are not hindering somebody else from getting to heaven. If they are, whether we have liberty in that situation or not, as is described in 1 Corinthians, that liberty is not worth the soul of our fellow brother or sister. And once again, it's naive to think that we can control every situation every time. If there's that chance, if there's that possibility, then I think it's our duty to each other as Christians to go ahead and forego that act and not act on that liberty that we believe we have. The next thing I'd like to talk about as far as influence, it also has to do with that influence, but it's the approval of sin. When we do these things, the world looks at it with the eye of approval. If you would turn with me to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. In Ephesians chapter 5, and in verse 11, we're told to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And once again, is it a form of evil? Is it something that is going to harm our influence, even if it's something that we're not actively participating in? If we approve of that, then that's an example where it could hinder our ability to be separate from the world and to win souls. If we have a tattoo, others might not see the difference. You know, I've got a tattoo, and I know that it's hidden, okay? It's something that's not in rebellion. It's not vulgar. But somebody in the world or a brother or sister in Christ sees that, well, they may think, well, he thinks they're right. And in reality, he has no problem with bringing attention to himself. He has no problem with all kinds of tattoos, you know, no matter what the reason for getting it may be or no matter what the substance of the tattoo is. And in that situation, you know, that can hurt our influence, okay? We've got to make sure that we in no way have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We cannot show that approval by being associated with it in any way. That's something that we've got to keep in mind as Christians. And we'll make that point again here in a minute when we make some more applications to these principles that we're talking about. And ultimately, what this comes down to, I believe, is the idea of being holy and holiness. If you would turn with me to 1 Peter, the first chapter, I'd like to look at a few passages that are listed here that talk about holiness and the characteristics of a Christian's life and what a Christian's life should be. But in 1 Peter 1, beginning in verse 13, 1 Peter 1 and beginning in verse 13, we're told, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to former lust, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" We are called to holiness as Christians, and that idea of holiness or being holy is holding ourselves to a higher standard. As we read in Matthew 5, we are to be separate from the world. We are a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. We are to let our light shine. And any time that we do something that is trying to fit into the world, that is trying to conform to the world, that has a form of evil around it, then we're getting away from that idea of holiness and being holy. Romans 12:2, a passage that we're all familiar with there. Quickly, if you would turn there, I'd like to read that. Romans the 12th chapter, and in verse 2, talking about our relationship to the world, there Paul says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren," or excuse me, verse 2, "and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." If we conform to the world, then we can't be transformed, and we're not going to be able to prove what the will of God is. How do we prove the acceptable will of God? Well, we separate ourselves from the world, and through our example, and through the way that we live our life, we show those around us what it means to be a Christian and to live as God would have us to live. 1 John, the 2nd chapter, we have another passage here that talks about this characteristic, or this idea of what a Christian's life is to be like. In 1 John, the 2nd chapter, and in verses 15 through 17, we're told, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. And so as Christians, if we love the world, then the love of the Father is not in us. You know, something like getting a tattoo, there's no denying that at one point, the world, and the majority of the world, frowned upon it. It was something that was looked upon as immoral, as rebellious, and even if the further away from that time period we get, the further we go, the less and less it's frowned upon, the more and more accepted it is. There's a form of that evil there that a Christian should not be associated with, and we've got to make sure that we keep that in mind. And a couple pages over in 3 John and in verse 11, 3 John and in verse 11, we are told, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God." And so as Christians, we're told here, we're not even to imitate what is evil. In a way, if you think about it, getting a tattoo, it's something that the world has frowned upon. It's something that's looked on as rebellious. Is that an imitation of what is evil? We're going to make a few more applications of that here in a second. But we are not to imitate evil, but we are to imitate God. We are to do what is good, and if we do good, and we have seen God, as we were told there in verse 11. And then I've mentioned that form of evil. I've talked about that form of evil. And the verse that I'm getting that from, that I'm sure many of you are familiar with, is in 1 Thessalonians 5. If you would turn with me there real quickly. But 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and in verse 22, let's go ahead and start in verse 21 and 22. "Test all things, hold fast what is good, and abstain from every form of evil." That idea of abstinence or abstain means stay completely away from. And it doesn't just say evil, it says every form of it. If it's a form of evil, if we have to ask ourselves, is this good or is this bad? If it's a form of evil, we need to make sure that we truly test that. Test all things, hold fast to what is good, as it says in verse 21. If we find a form of evil in that, then we need to make sure that as Christians we abstain from that and we do whatever we can to stay away from it and not practice those things. And so hopefully these principles that we've laid forth have helped. Once again, they're general principles. We are to be a good influence on the world, a city on a hill that is not hidden. We are to love our brethren. We're not to cause our brother to stumble. Those are things that are general commands. They don't have specific applications that are made to them in those passages that we read. But when we're considering as Christians how we're to live our lives and whether we can or cannot or want to or don't want to do something, we have to keep those things and those commands in mind. You know, we've mentioned tattoos, and once again, that's the primary topic of the lesson. I wanted to make that the primary question: shall I get a tattoo? So it hopefully stick a little bit, and these principles would stick some, because I think it's an issue that has had some controversy in the past. It's maybe something that we don't think about all the time. Once again, in my personal experience, it has come up, and so I think that it's something that young people, if you're thinking about that, those are some principles that you need to consider. And is it something that is going to be beneficial to your Christian walk? But we've got to understand our influence that we not only have to the world, but to those around us. And also, along with tattoos, the body piercings. Okay, we talked about earrings a second ago with ladies. Obviously, I don't believe that there's anything wrong with that. But at what point do you draw the line? What is acceptable? Is it a nose ring? Is it a lip ring? A tongue ring? A nose stud? At school, it's almost comical when we have our faculty meetings and we talk about the dress code, because we talk about the ear piercings and what's acceptable and can you have gauges, and all the teachers, well, what's a gauge? Is that a spike or is that just one of the ones with the hole in the ear? And you know, most of us have no clue, so we've got to make sure that we're all on the same page so that we know what a gauge is and what, you know. Is it worldly? Is it something that people are going to look at and say that's a Christian? Or is it something that they're going to look at and it's going to hurt our influence? Once again, there is some judgment that needs to be made here. But I think that if we are true to ourselves and we keep those principles and we truly want to follow those principles, then I think these things will take care of themselves. The next thing, going to the prom. Another issue among young people, and when I say going to the prom, I'm not talking about dancing at the prom. I believe that most here would agree that the dancing is wrong. Once again, that's another general command. The Bible does not say do not dance. it says do not practice those sensual things, those lascivious things that obviously go along with dancing. And so we've got to make that application there. But what about going to the prom and just being there with my friends and not dancing? Is that something that is going to hurt our influence? Is that something that's going to perhaps cause a brother or sister to stumble who is not as knowledgeable as we are? Well, so-and-so is going to the dance, so they must have danced at the dance, even though I didn't see whether they did or not, and so it must be okay for me to do that. Those people that are there with you, well, so Josh is a Christian, but he's going to the prom, so it must be okay. You know, if I can go to the prom, he can go to the prom, why do I need to go and learn what his religion is and what his beliefs are, because there's no difference between us. Those are things that we must think about as children of God, and we've got to make sure that we don't do anything that's going to harm our influence. And as was mentioned before, we can't always know who's going to see us and who's not going to see us. Some of that stuff we can control, but there's no way that we can control all of that, and we're naive to think that we can. Haircuts, that's another thing. Being a teacher, the thing that's in today are the mohawks. I don't know if y'all have seen kids wearing them, but we see them all the time, the mohawks. Is that something? Once again, are you doing it to draw attention to yourself? What's the purpose behind it? Are you trying to fit in with those in the world or not? The clothes that we wear, that's another issue that can come up. Of course, modesty, we're called that is a specific commandment to be modesty, but I think there are types of clothing, the designs on the clothing. There are any number of things that we could put in to this category where we are trying to possibly fit into the world by doing things that are in style or that seem cool or neat or whatever the case may be. And we've got to ask ourselves, is that something that a Christian should do? Is that something that is going to hurt our influence? We can't just stop it. Is there a specific command not to do it? If God didn't say not to, then it must be all right. That's not the attitude that a Christian should have. We've got to make sure that we follow these principles that we've talked about that are set forth in the New Testament. And the final thought that I'd like to leave you with is in 1 Corinthians, I'd like to read 1 Corinthians 10 and verses 23 through 24. 1 Corinthians 10 verses 23 through 24. And here, Paul talking to the church at Corinth once again about how they are to live their lives. He talks to them previously in the chapter about fleeing from idolatry. And in verse 23 and 24, he tells them, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being." I think ultimately that's what this comes down to. These things that we've discussed that aren't specifically condemned in Scripture, but that can harm our influence to those in the world and those fellow Christians around us, we've got to make sure, even if it's lawful, even if there's liberty there in some of these situations, is it helpful? And I think that if we are honest with ourselves and we look at it with an honest heart, that's going to answer our questions in a lot of these areas. Verse 24, "Let no one seek his own." Once again, it also goes back to that love for our enemies, those in the world, and our love for our fellow brethren. Do we have the love for one another that we seek each other's well-being, even if it means I have to give up something that I may feel that I'm at liberty to do or something that is lawful? We've got to not seek our own, but we've got to have love for one another and seek each other's well-being. Hopefully these things have been of some benefit to you. Hopefully they have caused you to think about these principles. Once again, that if we make sure that we follow these principles that are aligned in God's Word, then all the specifics that come up from day to day, if we're living by these principles, then those specifics are going to take care of themselves and are going to allow us to have the influence with the world and with our fellow brethren that we're supposed to have that's laid out in the New Testament. I want to offer an invitation this morning. There may be those in the audience today who have not named the name of Christ, who have not been baptized, but perhaps you have heard something that has pricked your heart and you would like to come forward and make your life right with God and be baptized into His church. The baptistry is ready. We offer that opportunity to you now. If there is someone who has been baptized, a Christian, that perhaps you've fallen away or done something, caused you to stumble, that you would like to come forward and make right, ask for the prayers of the congregation. That opportunity is available to you now as well. If we can help you in any way, we ask that you would come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.